Good morning.
Good morning. Please proceed.
Court. I'm Pat Wright. I represent the appellant Arsis in this case. It's an appeal from a district court finding of non-infringement on motion for summary judgment. That motion was filed by the accused infringer, and that has important consequences in terms of how you evaluate.
Do you agree that claim one of 989 is representative?
I do.
Okay. Thank you.
I started to say, Your Honor, that the because we were the non-moving party below, the rules of the federal rule that govern summary judgment, Rule 56, says that all reasonable inferences must be resolved in favor of the non-moving. That's my claim. That has important, I think has important.
You can assume we're familiar with the trilogy.
Yes, I didn't think you were. But anyway, the first thing I wanted to say is that the claim one, which calls for a rollover prevention apparatus that allows a vehicle to be steered within a non-rollover steering range of motion of the said vehicle, but prevents the vehicle from being steered beyond a rollover threshold of the vehicle, says nothing about a driver at all.
Okay. I have some problems I want to get cleared up, okay? On page 16 of the blue brief, you quote Mr. Firmage, BMW of Murray's in-house counsel, who happens to be a lawyer who owns a BMW dealership and styles himself as the in-house counsel.
Well, I think his dad does.
As expressing no disagreement with your infringement claim and only uncertainty on whether the vehicle is self-steered. But you fail to include that he also said in the same breath that he didn't feel qualified to opine within the context of this patent claim, and he couldn't say for sure, a little bit later, just couldn't say for certain anything in particular about it. You admitted those statements, and how is that omission not a mischaracterization of his testimony? He's not giving you anything.
I disagree with you. I think he admitted infringement, and then he tried to dilute his admission. And any dilution of the admission doesn't take away the admission. It only goes to the weight be given that admission under our rules of evidence I submit to you.
On page 41 of the blue brief, you assert that Mr. Fox, BMW's of Murray's declarant, admitted that the ADAP system self-steers. And you support this assertion with, to be kind, a heavily edited quotation from Mr. Fox's declaration. On page 17 of the blue brief, you quote Mr. Fox as stating, ADAP will assist, and this is with ellipses in it to get it to this, ADAP will assist the driver, ellipsis, by providing, ellipsis, steering intervention. You omit Mr. Fox's definition of steering intervention, which is a steering recommendation, and provide your own instead, self-steering. And based on that, you conclude that he admitted that the vehicles were self-steering. How is that not a misrepresentation?
It's not, because in the Fox Declaration, Mr. Fox is saying, and I have the Fox Declaration right here at appendix page 438, paragraph 4, he says, the ADAP option contains certain features that will assist the driver in operating the vehicle by providing a steering recommendation or steering intervention. So it can provide one or the other. The intervention happens when the ADAP system takes over the actual steering of the car. The recommendation is something different.
And
that's
he also
states
says,
the alternative.
Don't talk when I talk.
I'm sorry.
He also says, as I recall, that the driver of the BMW can overrule that by simply continuing their driving. Is that not correct?
He says you can override. What he says is this. Once this ADAP system is engaged and is active, there will be an intervention and the car will steer itself. but the driver can override that intervention. The word override means turn off, disable, deactivate. That's what he says.
Steering recommendation.
Well, if there's a steering recommendation, the vehicle isn't driving itself. But when there's an intervention, the vehicle is driving itself. And under those circumstances, the driver can deactivate the intervention by steering in such a way as to turn it off.
Do you have anywhere in the record where Mr. Fox actually says that the vehicles are self, the accused vehicles are self-steering?
He doesn't use those words, no.
No.
He uses the words intervention in certain circumstances, goes on to explain that the driver will sense this as a torque or turn of the steering wheel.
Okay. Is there any
usually we turn the wheel when we want to steer.
Is there any record evidence where someone actually says, on BMW side, says that the vehicles are self-steering?
Only Mr. Fromage's admission to the correctness of the claim chart on claim one.
Okay.
And that chart does use the words
on
the chart.
On page 18 of the blue brief, you quote Mr. Fox as saying that the driver of an accused vehicle will experience an ADAP, quote, steering intervention, close quote, as a mild torque or turn of the steering wheel. You quote him as saying, the driver can allow this torque to be applied, ellipsis, dot, dot, dot. You leave off the second half of the sentence, where Mr. Fox says the driver can, quote, override the steering intervention and steer the vehicle how she sees fit. What was your intent in leaving off that second sentence?
Pretty simple. The claim doesn't say anything about how you turn on or turn off the apparatus. The claim is silent on that point. So that means, under most conventional claim interpretation, that any reasonable way, turn it on or off, could infringe. And all he's talking about in the portion of the sentence you just read, Your Honor, is how one of the ways to turn off the ADAP system once it's been activated. That's all.
Okay. On page 45 of the blue brief, you say that the SRAM declaration, am I saying that right, SRAM?
Yes, sir.
SRAM declaration provides a complete analysis of the intrinsic evidence and that the district court erred by failing to adopt an interpretation. Is there any record evidence that shows that Mr. SRAM is a person of skill?
Well, he's a mechanical engineer who's worked in the auto industry for Autoliv for over 15 years.
Where's the definition of a person of ordinary skill in the art?
In this brief? No, nowhere.
In the brief? In the record?
No, sir. It's not in the record, period. We don't attempt to define person of ordinary skill. But we do recite in his declaration what his qualifications are. He took out these patents himself. He's taken out many, many patents for others. He holds over 50 patents, most of them in the automotive field. I think that qualifies him as a person at least of ordinary skill. And when you consider that our opponents filed only one declaration, that's the one of Mr. Fox. That's the only declaration, the only record evidence they have to state their position. And that
why
Fox
sued the local BMW dealer as opposed to the people who make these cars?
Because of the Heartland problem. It's as simple as that. Think of it this way. BMW is a company based in Germany. BMW of North America, a subsidiary of theirs, is nothing but a selling operation, and they're based in New Jersey.
Really?
And this dealer is based in Patterson.
Don't they make those things in, at least some of them, down in Tennessee or thereabouts?
They have some sub-assembly plants in the United States. I don't know exactly
maybe
how much sub-assembly is done. But the fact of the matter is the ADAP system was developed in Europe, okay, and put on the cars before they ever get to this country. So they aren't assembling ADAP in South Carolina or any of those places. But the Heartland problem presents the problem that if you don't have brick and mortar in a given location, you're unlikely to be able to properly plead appropriate venue. But in this case, anyone who makes, uses, or sells, of course, under U.S. law, is an infringer. And make no mistake about it, this defendant is the biggest BMW dealer in the entire state of Utah. This is no mom-and-pop operation. We're talking about mega-big.
Okay, in your brief, you say that you asked for claim construction, and the court erred by ignoring that request. And I couldn't find anything in the record. Indeed, what I saw in the record is an email that you sent at JA 2023, which says that you are not going to seek interpretation of any term at this time. So can you show me in the record where you sought claim construction?
I think our appendix contains the briefing that was actually done on claim interpretation. Here's how it went. We had the usual exchange of... I can't give you the page off the top of my head, but I can... It's in the appendix.
Well, well, but the question was, did you seek claim construction?
I didn't seek construction of any term, no.
Okay, but didn't you tell us in your brief that you asked for claim construction and it was error for the district court to ignore it?
I asked for it in the briefing on summary judgment, yes, I did. And the judge didn't offer claim interpretation. Instead, he said in his order that the plain meaning of the claim to him requires no interpretation. Then he went on to say the claim calls for a driver, and the word driver is nowhere in the claim. So first he says he didn't do claim interpretation, and then he adds a word to the claim that isn't in there and never was. There's no synonym for driver in the claim. So that's a narrowing of the claim that follows no interpretation rule that I know of that is applied under Phillips, and the judge denies doing any interpretation. Okay. So then you see at the end of his order, I'm running out of time, but at the end of his order on page 4, this is appendix page 22, he says, simply put, ADEP never actually prevents the vehicle from being steered beyond a rollover threshold at any point, including when ADEP is in the engaged mode. That's the end of that comment. He doesn't cite anything in the record because there's nothing in the record to support it. There's no evidence in the record to support that fact finding. And my client is supposed to get the benefit of all reasonable doubt. If he doesn't cite to anything for it, the reasonable inference is that there is nothing that supports it. That's the reasonable inference, and that's what he didn't do. He did this over and over. On the Fox Declaration, Fox is not said to be an expert, so he can't rely on hearsay. That's an ironclad rule in the Federal Rules of Evidence. But he attaches manual pages, does Mr. Fox, to his declaration, which are hearsay. And our opponents offer no argument for admitting the use of those papers, of those manual pages against us, not even the business records exception, which requires the laying of a certain kind of foundation under 8036 A, B, or C.
Yeah, my recollection is that he runs those records, operation that controls those records.
No,
I
see that's not so.
I've gotten that out of reading it.
No, it's not so. If you read his declaration, he's a guy that works in New Jersey who shuffles papers around and doesn't write anything. He never wrote these manuals. All he did was read them. I can read the newspaper today and claim to this court that I know what President Trump said to the president of Ukraine, but I don't know any more about it than what I read in the paper, any more than this individual knows about these manual pages. Okay. But whether he knows about them or not, they're still hearsay. He didn't write them, and they're not authenticated under 803. So they should never have been considered against us at all.
Okay, you're into your rebuttal, so I'm...
Yes, ma'am, sorry.
Good afternoon, I guess. May it please the court. As the court knows from looking at the record, this was a no-evidence type summary judgment. This was a party who didn't have the burden, pointing out through that Fox declaration, Mr. Fox, by the way, you're right, he runs the division in BMW of North America, the section that tests these things and proves them out and establishes how they're going to work and how they're going to be configured for the U.S. markets. We know what he's talking about. He said that, look, these ADAP features that you're accusing never do anything other than make a recommendation to the driver, and the driver can accept them or reject them. And he said, they don't shut off. Driver's actions don't shut these things off. He just simply overrides them. All three of the features are still on, but the driver still has to drive the car. This car doesn't have an autonomous driving mode. It's not a Tesla. All the time, the driver has to drive the car. And he pointed that out. And so what the patent owner's job was at that point was to come forward with evidence from which a jury could find for them. And unfortunately, all they put in was this Tran declaration, which doesn't come close to meeting their burden.
Why is that unfortunate?
Oh, it's a figure of speech, I apologize, but he simply is short of...
It's pretty fortunate for your client.
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. He doesn't establish he had personal knowledge. He doesn't establish that he did any testing. He doesn't establish that there are algorithms in the car that will cause it to self-steer. There aren't. Or that there's algorithms in the car to enforce a rollover prevention. There aren't. All he says is, I think it infringes, and that's not enough to meet his burden on coming forward with admissible evidence from which a jury could find for the plaintiff. Right? The other points, I'll touch on them quickly, but I think you know them. The general counsel was a nice young man who had an undergraduate degree in accountancy, went to law school, and went to work on his dad's BMW dealership. Okay? He wasn't there as a technical expert. He wasn't there to opine about patent law principles. He was there to talk about how the company sailed and the things that they did. And it's nothing but a sort of a real overstatement to suggest that he in any way admitted infringement. He pretty much admitted that he didn't know what those claim charts were about.
Well, I guess we disagree on that. I think it's not an overstatement, it's a misstatement.
Similarly, Mr. Fox, I think you pointed this out already, he did not say that self-steering is equated with... There were no evidentiary errors. The judge is a very experienced district court judge who knows the rules of evidence. He's written a manual on the rules of evidence. But in any event, this was a no-evidence summary judgment motion. Their job was to come forward with evidence, not to criticize the Fox Declaration. That's the essence of it. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but that's the essence of my argument.
We have your argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. A
couple of things, Your Honor. My opponent here is... a little mischaracterized or exaggerated Mr. Fox's importance. If you read his declaration, he says very plainly what he was. The judge below did say that he would overrule our personal knowledge objection. But that doesn't mean that just because it's admissible that it had entitled to weight. Again, I say, any reasonable doubt must be resolved in our favor, not in favor of our opponent. As for Mr. Fromage, yes, a nice young man, I agree. He's also a nice young man who signed the interrogatory responses from our opponent right. on infringement as the verifier.
That means
he made himself a fact witness under Rule 33b-5. He ceased to be a lawyer the minute he signed as a fact witness. In fact, my opponent signed as to the objections. So it's clear that he signed only as verifier. That's why we deposed him on infringement. They chose to make him their representative on infringement, not us. All we did was take his deposition after they chose him. And now they want to walk away from his admissions. They want you to dilute him and give him no weight. And that's a reversible error.
Assuming, of course, that you're correct in saying that they were admissions.
Yes, sir, that's right. And also, I submit to you, look at Unilock. Unilock was a case in this court very similar against Microsoft. The Microsoft representatives on infringement made admissions. The lawyers tried to argue that they weren't as potent as the patentee said. And this court said, that's not our job on appeal from summary judgment. Our job is to resolve reasonable doubt in favor of the patentee.
Is reasonable.
Okay?
Genuine issue of material fact. It's an actual
right.
language.
Any one of us can argue that when someone makes an admission, well, gee, he didn't know what he was talking about. But they picked him to sign for them on infringement.
Let me reiterate, genuine.
I hear you. Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank both sides, and the case is submitted. That concludes our proceeding for this morning.